Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Why don't you please stand? Open up your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's in the New Testament. And we're going to begin with just reading one verse as we launch into this message. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm going to begin by reading verse 23. I want to point out that this is a prayer. This is a prayer that Paul the Apostle was praying over the believers in Thessalonica 2,000 years ago. And it's a prayer that's packed full of truth and, I believe, power for us even today. Here's what it is, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God, may your word speak into our hearts today. I pray that you will help us to have our body, soul, and spirit aligned with you and your will as we walk out of here in your name. Amen. You can be seated. We're in a big travel season right now. Maybe some of you have plans to take off this week or the Christmas holidays and go visit people. You're going to be on the road or flying somewhere. And I want to ask this. How many of you have ever had a trip that you were looking forward to go from bad to worse? Anybody had a trip like that? All right, some of you are smiling. Others are just still mad about it. You're like, it was the worst. Well, about a year and a half ago, my son Ethan and I were heading to Denver, Colorado. He just graduated from high school, and we were going to have some man time and do some hiking for a couple days. And so we drive to the airport in Detroit, and we're just pumped, like, man time. This is going to be so good. And we get to the airport. Everything's going fine. We board our plane for Denver. Everything's going fine until we end up waiting on the plane, sitting there for an hour and a half, and it hasn't moved yet. You know, one of those. And you're like, oh, this is terrible. The plans are changing already with this delay. Well, after an hour and a half, they had us get off the plane and go back into the airport. That's what you never want to do before your plane's ever moved. We go back into the airport for a while, and there's all these things like, are we going to have the flight or are we not? Finally, they get another plane. They just have an extra plane over there. And so we get on that plane and wait for a while, and we're buckled in, ready to go, and all of a sudden, this is no lie, all of a sudden, we're sitting there, we're ready. Let's do this. Let's go to Denver for man time. And all of a sudden, the flight attendant crew, the entire crew, walks past us on the plane with their luggage and gets off the plane. We're like, what is going on? And I guess their shift was over. Maybe they were just quitting. I don't even know what the case may be. But 3 hours and 15 minutes after we first boarded the first plane, we finally left, okay? That was a long delay. And that was the easy part of the trip, okay? We fly to Denver. As soon as the wheels of the airplane touch down, smoke begins to fill the cabin. That's never a good thing. Smoke begins to fill the cabin, and we're just, you know how it is, you're going fast, and they're trying to get you to a stop, and at first Ethan's like, Dad, it's not good. It's fine. People were starting to get tense. People were getting scared, as you can imagine, and we finally come to a stop right there on the runway, not at the gate, on the runway, and there's no announcement. There's no, everything's going to be just fine. No announcement. Flight attendants are not walking through giving encouragement or giving instructions. No. And guess what? You know, when you watch the video, the little oxygen mask that's just supposed to miraculously, like, drop down from heaven. They're always like, just that's all you do. Take a mask. You're in a plane crash. Just take the mask. You're going to be good. No. No mask. Nothing drops. They lied. There's no mask up there. Smoke is continuing to go around. People are starting to freak out. Finally, there were some people in exit rows that had actually paid attention to the video, and they get up and they throw open the exit doors, and everyone's like, go, 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 don't get your stuff. You know, it's like chaos for a minute, and we're all just going out, trying to get fresh air, and we get out. Ethan and I and others in our area got out on the wing of the plane. Ethan and I are helping people through the little hole to get out on the wing, and we're out on the wing. Oh, it was crazy. We get off the plane. This is the actual plane. I took a picture of it after they had me get back in the plane, both of us, and go around to take the slide, which that was an experience. It's not as easy as it looks. Just saying, there are a few people that bit it on the concrete. I'm not laughing about that, so you shouldn't be either. That's terrible. Thankfully, nobody died, although several people did have to be hospitalized. I don't know if you can see the puddle in the back there. They told us that there was fuel on the ground that had come out of the airplane, so they quickly say, "We gotta go!" So they take all of us, and they have these big old vehicles that show up out of nowhere. We get on these vehicles, and they take us to the airport, the gate. We get to the gate, we're walking in there, and this was like the proud dad moment. My son Ethan's like, "Dad, we just need to thank the Lord." And I was like, "Oh, you are totally right." Yeah, that's awesome. And so we thanked the Lord right then and there in the airport because we didn't die. And next thing you do after you thank the Lord is what? You go to the bathroom. So we go to the bathroom and we're washing our hands, getting ready to leave. And there were some guys that were talking that were on the same flight as we were. And one of the guys, you could just tell, he had traveled a lot. And he's like, "Guys, talking to us, whatever the airline offers you, tell them it's not enough." And so we started joking about that, and still do to this day because we didn't die, and so it's funny. And we kind of joking, like, if they offer us a free flight, not enough. Free flights for life, not enough. Private jet, no, you get it. So we had a great laugh about that. Not enough. We still to this day at times will say that to each other. Not enough. Brings back some great memories. You know, in actuality though, I can still at times hear those words, not enough. Not from that experience, but just in life. Maybe you can as well. The message is like, you're not good enough. You're not doing enough. I mean, we try so hard if we're married to be the best spouse we can be. If we have kids, we're trying our best to be parents that love them and take care of them. We're all trying to juggle multiple things, right? It's busy, and we're doing the best job we can, and we get to the end of the day, and still, how many have ever thought, it's not enough? I should have said this. I should have done that. I didn't do enough. Maybe I don't have enough. I mean, have you ever stopped and looked in the mirror and had the thought, I'm not pretty enough? I'm not handsome enough. I'm not in shape enough. Have you ever looked at someone else and thought, I'm not talented like they are. I'm not gifted like that person. Have you ever looked at another person, maybe it's a neighbor or a relative, and you see all that they have and be like, I don't have enough. Or maybe even looked to the heavens and looked to God and I'm not good enough. I'm never gonna get it. I'm never gonna get it all together. I'm just not good enough. Over these last few weeks, we've been talking about breaking free from cages. We talked about breaking free from failure and from fear and from disappointment. Today, I want to talk about breaking free from the cage of not enough. Because often, we can hear so many of these messages about our lack and what we're not doing, how we're not cutting it, and how we're not measuring up. And it wears on us. And I think that there are times when it can even feel like we are imprisoned by it. You know, I think there are two common responses to being caged up and not enough. There are two common responses to having that feeling or that thought, like, I'm just not good enough. One common response is to stop trying. You know, I'm not as talented as that other person, so I'm not even going to apply for that position. I'm not even going to try. I'm never going to be as good of a dad as that guy or good as of a mom as that lady. And so why even try? I'm just going to sit on the couch, get the remote. Why even try? What we find is that a common response is to stop trying. But there's another common response, and that is to not know when to stop. Sometimes we completely stop, why even try? Then there's that other angle of it, and that is don't know when to stop. And so when we have that feeling or that thought, like, I'm not good enough, I don't have enough, whatever, what do we do is we try harder. We keep striving. We exercise more. We wear more makeup. We get newer clothes. We trade in the RV for another RV. We just try to do anything that we can. We don't have time to rest. We need to study. We need to think. We need to plan. We need to work until the wee hours of the morning, get up the next day and do it again. We need to do this, do this, do this, do this. And what we find is that it's like a finish line that we're chasing that keeps getting moved out of reach. We can't quite get there. Can't quite get to that place where it's like, I've done enough for today. I have enough. And Christ is enough. So how do we get there? I mean, is it even possible? Well, in order to answer that question in a few moments that we have together today, I want us to consider how we were made. I want to consider our makeup, if you will. You see, Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, points to this, and that is that we are a tripartite being, meaning that we have three parts. Human beings are made up of three parts, a body, a soul, and a spirit. All the way back in the act of creation, Genesis chapter 2, we see that God formed man out of the dust of the ground, body. He breathed his life, the breath of life, into the man, spirit. And then it says God made him into a living being, soul. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which was our opening text, specifies each of these very clearly. May your spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Body, soul, spirit, each are different in nature. Now, let's start with the body, and just to unpack this a little bit. The body is the easiest to understand because we can see it, right? Arms, legs, open you up, you got tendons. I mean, we can see, you got eyelashes, unless you've taken them off. I don't know if people do that or not. It just came to my mind. You have things, it's easy to see, it's visible, but it's also temporal. The body. Now, the soul is different. The soul is, it's your individuality. It's the personality of you. It's your uniqueness. And we know that the soul is comprised of essentially your emotions. You're an emotional being. Some of us more than others. You're an emotional being. So you have likes and dislikes. You have emojis just coming out of your face all the time, right? You know, you're smiling, you're not smiling, you're sad, mad. Well, all that stuff, you know, that make up during a course of a lifetime, all these emotions that we deal with and that we can express. Why? Because God made us as an emotional being. That's part of our soul makeup. We have emotion. The other thing we have is a will, volition. It's free will. So we have the ability and the capacity to make choices. We can choose this or we can choose that. Having a soul, being emotional, being able to have a will and free choice and think through things and decide makes us so much different than the animal kingdom, all right? Because we have been made in God's image. If we have emotion, we have will. We love having free will. We just wish maybe others didn't have free will so much, right? And then we also see this part of our soul, and that is our mind. We can deduce things, we can process, we can remember things. It always bothers me. It just like hurts my heart whenever I hear. Often this is young people, but sometimes adults as well. A statement being made where they down themselves, and maybe they call themselves dumb or call themselves stupid. And maybe you've said that to yourself. Maybe you've heard other people say that to you. But when I hear someone saying that to themselves out loud, it's like, oh no! I'm like, oh, you don't get it. Like, you were created in the image of God. And God gave you emotion. He gave you will. He gave you this mind that is spectacular. I mean, neurologists estimate that with our mind, we have the capacity to learn something new every second of every hour of every day of our life. The mind is just mind-boggling. What the capabilities are and the untapped potential that's there. We can strategize. We can dream. We can plan. We can even remember to pick the kids up after school. You know, it's like we are able to file information. Why? Because God has given us this mind, this intellect. We're emotional beings. We have a free will. We're intelligent beings as well. This makes up our soul. Often in Scripture, the word soul is translated life. It's just your life. It's you. It's some would say, your self-consciousness. And then you get to your spirit. The spirit, if this is your self-consciousness, the spirit would be described as your God consciousness. It's like the God element of your life and how God has created you. And if God is living inside of your spirit, things change. See, prior to salvation, you have body, you have soul. Prior to salvation, your spirit, according to the word of God, is dead. It is lifeless. It is dormant, unplugged. It needs to be resuscitated. It is just comatose. It's there. It's just there, but it's not doing anything. There's no life in it. And when someone comes to salvation, and what I mean by that, if you're new to that phrase, is you are receiving Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Son of God who came to this earth, into your life as your Lord and Savior. And that happens by your faith, not by your works. You're receiving him. You're confessing your sins and saying, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life. I want you to be my Lord. And we call upon the name of the Lord. We are saved. And what happens is immediately the Holy Spirit of God comes and resuscitates our spirit, which was dead, in order to be alive. Colossians chapter 2 says, and you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, and God made you alive. He made you alive. Boom. All of a sudden, that which was dead is alive. That which was blind can now see that there is life. Body, soul, spirit. But how many know that this body, this flesh that we live in, has been corrupted by sin? Okay, if you ever had a tummy ache, even that, you know, whoa, that wasn't in God's original creation design. It wasn't. If relationship was perfect between men and women and God, Adam and Eve had perfect fellowship with God. There was no sin at that time in the world. Their bodies were going to just keep going. They were going to keep going. But sin entered the world, and because of sin, death comes to all men. Therefore, our flesh is tainted. It is incomplete. It is weak. How many know that as you get older, the metabolism starts to slow down? And we do our best to keep it up. I'm still eating the fries and the burgers and all that. Come on, metabolism, but it doesn't work like that. And we know that when we get older, if you're over 40, you can tell that, you know, maybe the legs are starting to slow down a little bit. And maybe the thought of just running around the yard just for fun doesn't sound very fun anymore. Why? Because you're slowing down a little bit. I was at physical therapy on Friday, and I'm just telling you, I wasn't the only one from our church in there. I'm just saying. Our bodies are weakened. Right? Because of sin. Sin messed it all up. Sin messed it all up. Actually, in the Bible, the flesh is not spoken of very highly. You see, the flesh represents a lot of things. It's earthly. It's temporal. You're not going to have this body that you live in right now for eternity. Not happening. There's a beginning day. There's an end day for the body. The flesh, even as we read Scripture, it has seems to have power to it. It's even, you even read about the mind of the flesh, and it's like this flesh represents unrighteousness. This flesh is temporal, represents self-righteousness, which is trying to earn your way to God. Both are bad. Both don't work. The flesh represents weakness and lack. And that's where we get those thoughts, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty much. You're comparing yourself to other people, criticizing yourself or criticizing others. It's the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 even goes on to say that the flesh goes against the spirit. One translation says it lusts against the spirit. It wars against the spirit. In 1 Peter, it says that our passionate fleshly lusts wage war against our soul. And so you have this war going on where our flesh is trying to do everything opposite of what God wants. Everything. Our flesh wants to take the easy route. We have some God-given appetites. I won't go into all that right now. But I will say this, the flesh wants instant gratification for those appetites instead of fulfilling those appetites in a God-aligned and God-honoring way. So the flesh is not spoken of very highly in Scripture. It seems almost to have a force. Before coming to Christ, there's even a compulsion to get us to do what the flesh wants us to do in any given moment. And that's a problem. But then we have our soul. You see, our soul decides the direction of our life. Remember, I said that our soul, us being a living being created by God, means that we have a free will. Remember that? We get to choose the direction that we will go. If we listen to the flesh, we're going to go the direction of the flesh and fulfill those desires. If we listen to God, we will go the way of the Lord and fulfill what He desires. The soul is, you could say, in the driver's seat. Now, how many of you, when you're in a car, you pretty much have to be in the driver's seat? Just admit it. Yeah. You're like, scoot on over. I don't care if you own the car. If I'm riding this thing, I'm driving it. And the reason why we don't want to admit it is because we like control, right? Because we know if we are driving, we're going to be safe. We're going to regulate the speed the way that we need to regulate it. And we're going to turn and take the directions where we need to go. Not taking those shortcuts. I'm going this way. We like the control. Many of us have to kind of admit that. And if that's a sore spot in your marriage, I apologize for bringing it up. Okay. Just talk about it on the way home. Who or what is in the driver's seat determines the direction of the car. Who or what is in the driver's seat determines the ultimate destination of the car. And here's the thing. Your soul is in the driver's seat of your life. With your free will, with your mind, with your emotions, your soul is in the driver's seat. And there are two ways then to live. One way to live is a flesh-directed life. Now, those of you that took driver's training, think back to when you took it. If you didn't take it, you probably should have, okay? But think back to those days. I remember when I took driver's training, I was 16 years old at Hillcrest High School in Springfield, Missouri, and I get behind the wheel with little to none experience, okay? And this could be scary. I get behind the wheel. I've got my driver instructor right here to my right. He's in the front seat. And then I've got another wannabe driver in the back seat. You know, one of me. There's another guy back there. I don't even know the guy, but this is... I don't even want him to drive either. And let's say as we're starting out our first day of driver's training that I do this. Let's say I have the power to do this. I tell my driver instructor, like, you know, why don't you just go to the back and maybe don't even come with us. And then I want this guy up here with little to none experience. Why don't you come up and sit in the front seat? And we're like, let's do this. And so we take off and he's just chattering in my ear the whole time. Come on, man, let's go faster. Let's do this. Let's break some laws. Let's hit this corner. Go around this curve on two wheels. This is going to be awesome. Let's hit that pedestrian. Oh, it's great. Just like Fortnite. Just keep going. And then it just keeps chattering in your ear. Keeps chattering in your ear. And telling you, you know, we need to stop. Let's get some alcohol. And then we'll just keep driving. All right? Just keeps chattering. And then he begins to say stuff like, you know, you stink as a driver. You are probably the worst driver I've ever seen in my entire life. And so you're going... That would be a flesh-directed way to live, where you're listening to what the flesh wants, you're listening to what the flesh is saying. Now, we know that if I had done that in driver's training, things would not have ended well. I don't even think I would have passed the class, to be honest. Here's what it says in Romans 8 about the flesh-directed life. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And then verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. contrasting the difference between a flesh-directed life and a spirit-directed life. I said that there's two ways to live. We've talked about the flesh-directed life. Now, imagine with me what it would be like for a spirit-directed life. And this makes more sense as we think driver's training, as the instructor is up here. And I know that as we think about our driving instructor, we don't think perfection or Holy Spirit, okay? But just to get this in our minds, I think it can help us to understand some of how things work in our life. The driving instructor is in there, and let's say the driver instructor just begins to encourage you, like, hey, you're going to do great. I know you're new to this, but we got this. I'm right here. I'm going to help you. I've already got a route marked out. Why don't you just head straight, just move forward, a little slower, a little slow, big guy, all right? And okay, now on this turn, keep your hands at 10 and 2. We're going to make this. We're going to be okay. You're doing great. Now, the outcome of that versus the outcome of a flesh-directed life, very, very different. Remember, the soul, you are in the driver's seat. Sometimes we think when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior that Jesus is in the driver's seat and we're in the back seat just hanging out. Like we don't do anything. We just stay in bed all day and Jesus just does everything. Transports us wherever he wants us to go. You know, it takes our mouth and just makes it move, saying what he wants us to say. The reality is that God has given us, we're creating his image, a free will and a mind. We're actually in the driver's seat, but we choose who is guiding us, who is leading us, who we're listening to. If we listen to the flesh, we will fulfill the things of the flesh. If we listen to the Spirit, we will fulfill the things of the Spirit. Spirit-directed life. You see, to come out of the cage of not enough, we might need to change who we're listening to. We might need to change what we're listening to. Are we listening to the flesh? Oh, this, you don't have enough. This and that. You listen to a corrupted flesh. Or are you listening to the Spirit? Here's the awesome thing. I'm not going to really get into this too much right now, but I plan to in February, the Lord willing, and that is when we come to Christ, our spirit comes alive. And one of the most glorious things about that is when our spirit comes alive, that compulsion of the flesh of you have to and you have to do this and you have no choice in the matter, that compulsion is actually cut off. It's actually cut off. It doesn't mean there's not temptation. It doesn't mean you can't still choose to do things in the flesh and walk according to the flesh, but that compulsion is cut off. It's a powerful thing when our spirit comes alive with the presence of God, God dwelling in our spirit. Here's the thing. When we come to Christ, we are then made a temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in us. Galatians 5 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You see, when we come to Christ, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit and we are enabled to walk according to the Spirit. Galatians 5 ends by saying, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep step with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit right here guiding and leading. And if we're choosing to listen to the Spirit, our life changes. Because we can come out of any cage that we've been in. We don't have to be held by that any longer. We don't have to think, oh, I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not doing enough, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We begin to listen, not to the flesh, but to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is perfect. So how does that function? How does that happen on a day-to-day basis? I'm going to give you just three practical things that you can be thinking about and hopefully live out over these next few days, keeping with the illustration of driving. The first one is this: assign seats. Assign seats. Have you ever got into a vehicle and you just start telling people where to sit? Maybe it's your kids or whatever. You're like, okay, you're going to sit here. All right. You're going to sit there. All right. You know, grandma, you're in the back. I don't know. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. You're assigning seats. And what we need to do as believers is assign seats. Meaning this, as I start my day, Holy Spirit, I want you right up here. Holy Spirit, I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. Holy Spirit, I want you to call the shots. Holy Spirit, alert me to things that I can't even see right now. Help me to know your heart. I want your will to be done in my life just as it is in heaven. Holy Spirit, would you lead and guide? Luke chapter 9, Jesus says this: if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself and then take up the cross and follow me. Follow Jesus. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Assign seats. Holy Spirit, I want you right here. And flesh, back seat. Now, the third row, back there. What'd you, be quiet. Back there, keep the flesh back there. What, if you say that again, I'm pulling this car over right now. I'm not joking. All right, no dessert for you tonight, stop talking. We gotta assign seats and put the flesh where it needs to be put. The flesh which is tainted, it's corrupted, it's weakened, it's incomplete. Why would we listen to the flesh? Why would we listen to the flesh tell us all of our lack and all the things that we can't do? See, the flesh represents what we can do and can't do on and in our own strength. That's what the flesh is. That's what the flesh does. We gotta get that in the back seat, assign seat. Secondly, look under the hood. Look under the hood. What do you mean by that? Well, often we are doing things in life and we don't even know why. Why is it that maybe some of us in this place feel the compulsion, the pressure, and the like that strong motivation? I got to just keep working, keep doing so much. I've got to exercise more. I've got to spend more time in front of the mirror. I've got to have newer clothes. Why do I really want that new car? And so we have all these things that maybe we're thinking about, wondering about, oh, I'd really love this or that. Have you ever stopped to ask why? Why? What's the motivation? Why do you do what you do? Why are you so driven to do this or to do that? Why is a very important question to ask in relationship to what we're talking about today. Why do you feel like you're not doing enough? Why do you think that you aren't good enough? Why do you think that you aren't good looking enough? Why? And the Holy Spirit is the master mechanic of getting under the hood and pinpointing what the problems and issues are. Because the Holy Spirit goes deeper than surface. Okay? I can wash my car, but now get under the hood and start fixing and tinkering things. Some of you can do that. I can't do that very well. The Holy Spirit is the expert at getting under the hood in our life and saying, all right, here's what you're doing. It doesn't quite align with what God wants. And here's why. Here's some faulty thinking. Here's some things that are just misaligned. They're inaccurate. Does that make sense? Here's what we see in John chapter 14. Jesus shared this, but the helper, this is from the Amplified, the helper who is the comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. You see, the Holy Spirit does the soul searching if you'll take the time and give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to do it. It's free counseling, okay? It's not painless, but it is free counseling. The Holy Spirit provides that for you as a follower of Jesus Christ. Let him get under the hood, and you might start to learn some things about yourself, maybe even back in the past, like, I cannot, that's why I do that. Maybe it's because of what someone said a long time ago. Maybe it's because of something you vowed you would never do or whatever. Let the Holy Spirit get under the hood with you and tinker and like, okay, this is what needs to be pinpointed so that can be uprooted so you can be aligned with what God wants. Thirdly, listen to the right instructor. Listen to the right instructor. Listen to the one who knows what he's doing. See, the Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit already knows the route that you could take. The Holy Spirit already knows how you can get there. The Holy Spirit already knows pitfalls. The Holy Spirit already knows where there's construction. He's like, hey, just listen. If you have the right instructor leading your life, you're gonna avoid a lot of things that other people fall into. Because he's leading and guiding, and he absolutely loves and he cares. Think about the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with me. Holy Spirit loves you so much. He's helping you, guiding you, leading you, refreshing you as you have that relationship with him. He cares about you. What is something that the driving instructor would say if you're driving and you start to get distracted? Gee, looking over here. He says, keep your eyes on the road. All of us as young drivers probably heard that a bazillion times. Keep your eyes on the road. What you're going to find as you're listening to the Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit is saying, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Well, that person said, keep your eyes on Jesus. but that person has that one. No, keep your eyes on Jesus. Well, I'm feeling this way about, no, keep your eyes on Jesus. Listen to what he says about you, that you're chosen, that you're holy in his sight. Keep your eyes on him, that you're anointed, that he's faithful and he's going to bring it about. Keep your eyes on him. He's called you. Keep your eyes on him. He has the plan. You're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's what you're going to hear the Holy Spirit saying, because the Holy Spirit highlights the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Listen to the right instructor. Let him look under the hood and assign seats. As you go through this week, don't listen to the flesh. It's tainted, it's corrupted. It just wants instant gratification. It's death. It's hostile to God. You have freedom from that as a follower of Jesus. Just get back there. Holy Spirit, lead and guide my life.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.